Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. What's it like to be the... Wait a minute. I've got word here that the president, former President George W. Bush, we have an opportunity to actually hear the president on our radio show, the Good Life Hawaii radio show. President George W. Bush, President Bush, is that you?
Hello, are you guys there? This is W. calling from Dallas.
Suzanne,
am I talking to Honolulu? Am I talking to Hawaii?
Aloha. Oh, aloha. W, what a joy. Thank you for calling.
Well, Laura, I'm actually talking to Hawaii. This is fantastic. It's good to meet y'all Hawaiians. I appreciate y'all. Thank you so much for having me on the show, Danny. It's great to chat with you, Susan. Appreciate you so much.
You have... Suzanne, I can't believe this.
I know, Danny.
God bless America.
Praise the Lord.
And pass the ammunition.
President Bush, is that really you?
Well, you know, maybe not. Maybe this is a trick. Maybe this is just a little fun, little pretend thing we're doing for all your listeners out there. Because there's someone who can sound and look so much like someone else. It's amazing. People can't even tell the difference.
May I just jump in and say that experience happened to me and Jamie Lee Kwai in Orlando in February of this year. We were standing in awe that former President George W. Bush was at the NRB, obviously to introduce his new book on the artistry of the warriors. It was amazing. But it wasn't former George Bush.
The question is, what's it like? What's it like, John Morgan, to be the face of President George W. Bush?
Well, first of all, I have to say, I'm not the face of George W. Bush. He's got his own face. But my face is so similar to his that I leveraged that that look that I had, worked hard on his voice and mannerisms, and became sort of a replica of George W. so that I could perform and treat people with comedy and laughter, all very respectful, all very non-political, really, all designed to motivate, to uplift folks and make them feel good. And it's just been a tremendous joy having doors open, really, that couldn't have opened any other way. You know, there's something about the authority of power that gives you an amazing amount of attention from other folks. And looking like George W. Bush has opened some remarkable doors that would never have opened to this used appliance salesman otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've walked down airport corridors and have seen the reactions of people, right?
Oh, absolutely. If I have a couple of guys in suits walking next to me, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody lines up for a picture, and, you know, it's really fun. I mean, even in drugstores, people will come up and I'll catch them staring at me or pretend they're taking a picture of themselves when I know for sure they're actually taking a picture of me, you know, and the tweet goes out, George W. Bush is in CVS.
Danny, that's exactly what Jamie and I experienced. I kid you not. We were within 10 feet, so sure, because his mannerisms are seemingly almost identical.
the shrugs.
You know what might be kind of fun? Why don't you give your listeners my web address so they can, while they listen, go ahead and take a look at and see what I look like.
What address is that?
Well, it's johncmorgan.com.
johncmorgan.com. You can do it now. johncmorgan.com. You can actually see him. And
could put a face with the voice.
johncmorgan.com.
I think they've already done that, listening to that voice.
Well, that's right. That's true. I went on a 3-day cruise with some wonderful folks, and by the time they got off the boat, the next time they saw President Bush on TV, they thought, he doesn't look quite right, you know, because their mind had went ahead and reassigned my face to George W. Bush.
Now, who influenced you most in your growing up years?
Well, I had several teachers that made a great impact on my life. Probably the strongest one was actually in third grade. As far back as that goes, this particular teacher saw a spark in me that I did not see in myself. And she called it forth by actually assigning me the lead to our class play. And I was St. George the Dragon Slayer, which was really fun. And I needed that boost because the 3 years previous had been very dark, very bitter for me. I was a victim of a lot of bullying, and I was a mischief troublemaker too. But I also, was teased and made to cry an awful lot. And really, I was not a fighter. I was a lover. I wanted to make friends. I didn't want to have enemies. I didn't get angry. I would just get sad, you know, when people would abuse me. And it was a hard time.
Sounds like life, the light was snuffed out of your life. And a very bright, vibrant light indeed. So what did she gives you this part, and what did it do in you?
You know, it gave me hope. It made me feel like I had purpose. And I know as an 8-year-old, you think too deeply about those things. But, you know, Danny, I was born a very bright, I don't mean smart, but vivacious, outgoing, happy kid. I didn't cry a lot. I didn't have too many sad days. I really loved life, and I loved people. And I never met a stranger, and I would sing to anyone. I loved music, and I loved performance. And it was all well and good until I got to school, and there were normal boys and girls, and they didn't have room in their paradigm for somebody like me. And so I became the butt of jokes and, you know, ridiculed and abused, and it was pretty bad. It was on a daily basis, pretty much. I had some rough years early on.
Now, your faith. How did your faith relate? Did your faith have any relation earlier in your life at around that time, or was it later?
It was later. I believed in God, but I didn't know that you could know God, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so to escape the pain of rejection, I thought, I've got to do something about this. So I just looked around and I saw, what are the cool people doing? What are the ones that are accepted doing that I'm not doing? And so I started taking drugs. I started smoking. I started drinking and carousing around with sex. We're talking very, very early in life. And I mean, I don't mean 8 years old so much, but not really a whole lot after that. And I began to live like a phony. I hated myself. I thought, well, I am detestable. So what I'll do is I'll put on the face of somebody who isn't detestable. And so I became actually, by the time I got to high school, a pretty cool guy and, made some friends. But those friendships were empty because in my heart of hearts, I thought they're based on a false image that I'm projecting. And so if people knew the real me, they would hate me as bad as I hate myself. Mm. Well, that desperation and that loneliness and that self-rejection came to a head in the summer of 74 when I thought I was so lonely and desperate, I despaired of life. And my mom, who didn't know anything about this, I hid all this from her. She drugged me to church. My mom became beautifully born again and spirit filled when I was 15 years old. And so now I'm 18 years old. I loved what I saw in her, but I wasn't willing to give up my toys, my evils. So I told God, you know, later. But she drugged me to church that day, March 5th, 1975. And at the end of the service, I was drawn like a magnet to the front of the altar and with joy and abandon gave my life to Jesus Christ. And what a glorious, glorious, glorious day that was.
John, you speak and write, as I've been so blessed by your book, War on Fear. What would you do if you were not afraid? By the way, it was timely in my life, and I believe the Lord spoke to me and ministered to me as I read it. But you speak with a candidness. There's a freedom that's, I guess, in a way disarming, but it's also compelling, because I feel like you, but I might not have the courage to say what you say. So I identify. And I think our listeners may be feeling that same way, but this is just the beginning. When we come back from our break, we'll talk more with John Morgan, and we'll talk more specifically about his book, War on Fear. John, when we come back, let's talk about the inspiration of your book and how it relates with your childhood, relates with even what your teacher in third grade did, and what your mother, Eileen Morgan, how she inspired you. My friend, the Lord sends a man like this today on our radio program to help us face our fears and to live a life of freedom, a life that we want but may not be ready for. We're ready for it today. Stay with us. We'll be back.
The road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
JohnCMorgan.com. JohnCMorgan.com. That's how you can get the book, War on Fear. And you can find out more about John and his, his award-winning impersonations of George W. Bush and the many lives that he has impacted through the years, even as he does so today. You might not feel ready. And the thing that holds you back from being ready to take the next step in your life is fear. Well, John has much to say about that. JohnCMorgan.com. John, why did you write the book, War on Fear?
I'm so glad you asked that question, Danny. I was in church one day, and how the book came about is sort of a two-step process, so stay with me through both steps. I was in church one day, and I thought to myself during the worship service, why don't we live out the pages of Scripture? Why is there this disconnect in my heart between what I saw the apostles doing in the book of Acts and my own life? Why is it that whenever I think about the exploits of the days of Jesus Christ, there's this instant curtain of unbelief that falls, that drops, and tells me that I'm disqualified, that I can't, that there's some invisible reason why that's not accessible to us. And yet the Bible says that if we trust in Jesus, that we can ask him whatever we want, and he'll do it, that we'll live the same kind of life that he lived. And that's exactly what we saw in the book of Acts, and actually do see that also in other parts of the world. But in the American church, you just don't see it hardly at all. And so I asked him, what is it? And I immediately knew it was unbelief. And it made me so angry when I realized that unbelief had robbed me of the life that was possible, that right in the middle of church, right in the middle of a worship song, I shouted, I declare war on unbelief. And, the atmosphere around me changed, and I felt like God drew me immediately into his presence, and he said, I can empower you to fight the war on unbelief, and I endorsed that war. So I set out. I started learning how unbelief operates, how it attacks us, how it's at war with us. And Danny, I made progress. And then a few months later, I was alone in my home, and I had this second moment of inspiration where I realized that fear had also stolen from me and kept me from my appointed destiny, had kept me from the dreams and vision of my heart, kept me from accomplishing the things that I wanted to do. And so alone in my home, I shouted again, I declare war on fear. And so now I had a war going on two different fronts, a war against unbelief and a war against fear. And as I thought about the war on fear, and I looked around at my friends, and I visited and began to speak in different churches, I was already doing that, I noticed that blankets of fear would envelop entire congregations of people, that fear itself would prohibit people like an instant wet blanket that would keep us from being obedient to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, from the dictates of Scripture, that fear of rejection, fear of missing out, fear of failure, fear of insignificance, fear of looking stupid, and a whole list of other fears was robbing me and stealing from me and keeping me, preventing me from living the full, rich, unrestrained Christian life for which I was created.
you talk about the fear of missing out. That's something that really struck me. I've been paralyzed at times, John, because I don't want to miss out. So I don't want to decide because I still have two options open. or more, for that matter. But what's at the root of our fear of missing out?
I believe it is kind of a striving and a distrust that God is sovereign and that he has our best interest at heart. We feel as though there's this boat, and that if we miss the boat, our lives will be without meaning. That somehow there's a strife of making the right choice, and if we make the wrong choice, again, just as you said, there will be some unspoken, some phantom consequence that we will suffer. And it does. It paralyzes us and causes indecision. Or another symptom of the war on, I mean, not the war, but the fear of missing out, is people who spend their whole day staring at their phone because they don't want to be the one that misses that text. They don't want to be the one that misses that email. They don't want to be the one that misses that Facebook post that everybody else sees, and somehow they aren't the cool one because they didn't see it. Or they won't ever decide to go out with a group of friends because, well, what if somebody from this group of friends calls with a better offer? Or in a horrible case, they won't make a commitment to someone who loves them, perhaps someone that you're engaged to or that you'd like to marry, but you're afraid if you commit to this person, then you're automatically saying no to every other possibility.
So what's part of the antidote to the fear of missing out?
Well, for me, it's simply trusting God. It really, the simple answer to almost every fear is trust and action. Once you believe you have the right direction, and you can usually tell because it's in your heart of heart, you need to trust in your own intuition and in the providence of God and in his leading, in the peace that he gives you, and know that he's faithful. You know, I jokingly say in the book that if you find yourself arguing with God, guess who's wrong? He's never been unfaithful. He's never made a mistake. He's never been wrong, never. And, you know, if you find yourself, you know, in a conversation with the good Lord saying, but Lord, anytime you say, but Lord, the very next thing that's going to come out of your mouth is something that you presume he doesn't already know, which, of course, is impossible because he knows our thoughts from afar. He knows our very, very life from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm. John, how vital is contentment, in your opinion?
Well, I believe what contentment speaks of, again, is trust. Mm-hmm. Is knowing, you know, if you understand the gospel, that Jesus Christ came to this earth of his own free will, his own volition, to rescue the human race and the sinners in it from their own separation from God, that he died on a cross to become the ransom. He took our sin upon himself. He knew no sin. He was perfect, blameless, a spotless lamb, if you will. Mm-hmm. And he took upon himself my sins, all of them, your sins, the sin of the entire world. And he paid the punishment that we deserve so that we could go free. And more than that, we could have designated to us his perfect life. The righteousness of God is given to us as a free gift. It's the most marvelous transaction, the most amazing exchange in human history. And so if God loves us that much, we can trust him with our lives. We can say, God, what you have chosen to allow to come into my life is enough for me because I have you. Once you have Christ, well, you have everything he has. You have the kingdom. You have God. You have eternal life. You have a future hope. And so there's every reason for contentment. And then every argument against contentment is simply an argument saying, Lord, you're not enough.
Mm-hmm. Trusting in his sovereignty.
Mm. That was a hard lesson for me.
I think it is for most of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Millions more.
Danny, go ahead, you mentioned go ahead, the... Oh, I'm so sorry. Did you have a question? I apologize.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, you had mentioned your own relation to the fear of missing out.
Yes.
I was so plagued with that for years because I wanted to be a singer-songwriter in my early years, but I was missing two key ingredients to be a successful singer-songwriter, talent and integrity. So after starving my family for a couple of years, trying to make it as a singer, I hung my guitar in the closet and set out to work on my character. And, you know, I figured, well, that'll take maybe 4 months or so. But it drug on, and after several years, I became very discontent because I wanted to be on the stage. As I talked about, you know, I was created to perform. I mean, I was this performer kid when I was 3 years old, and I still had this ta-da thing going on in my heart. And I used to say, God, when? And I had a yearning to serve people through music and song, and it just kept not happening, and I kept waiting and waiting, and 2 years turned into 10 years, and 10, 15 years, and somewhere along there, Danny, I learned about grace. I learned that God knows what he's doing, that life is long, and that I don't have to compare my life with someone else's, that success is not defined by how many records I have on the wall, by how many awards I've won, or even by how much money I have in my bank account. Success, actually, biblically speaking, is defined by how much I love God, how much I love others, and how much I obey the Lord. And so I learned to just trust him. Again, trust, there's that word, that buzzword, it keeps coming back. I learned to say, God, I don't like being put on the shelf like this. I don't like not doing what I want to do, what I yearn to do. But I believe that you are keeping me from it right now for reasons I don't understand. And I make the choice to trust you rather than to strive and kick and scream and cry like a baby. I'm just going to trust you with it. And I say, God, if you ever want me to do something, I'm here. Lord, you can speak. You balance all of the planets. You keep the stars in their place until it's time for them to fall out of the heavens. You grow every blade of grass. You know me intimately, and you're not deaf and you're not mute. When you want me to do something, I trust that you will make sure that I know it. Mm-hmm. And then I just left it at that. And it was... Mm-hmm. It was years later, and I lived in contentment from then until God finally did open the doors for me to return to ministry. And what a strange path that was.
Well, we'll talk about that path when we come back. By the way, John, I did see, you know, you said you had that dream, and then it got put on the shelf for many, many years. But I did see you actually performing the Grand Ole Opry as President Bush. With the guitar in your hands and singing. What a voice. And I heard them whooping because of the way you played the guitar. You're listening to John C. Morgan, a.k.a. President George W. Bush. When we come back, more from John Morgan. In fact, you can find out more about him and his new book, War on Fear, at johncmorgan.com. Has fear paralyzed you? Have you been fearing, like I have, of missing out and So therefore, you don't make decisions because you want to hold the options. John Morgan speaks heart to heart in his book, and he speaks heart to heart in this show. And I don't think there's any better way to communicate than to communicate heart to heart. And in this, God speaks through him to us. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Millions have seen John C. Morgan on The Family Feud, Headline News, Hannity and Combs, E! Entertainment Network, ABC's The View, and The 700 Club. I'm talking about John C. Morgan. He's with us today. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer. And you can find out more if you're tuning in right now. Maybe you heard the tail end of the last segment. You can hear this program in its entirety at thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can find out more about John Morgan at johncmorgan.com. John, you write in your book, War on Fear, you write, we humans tend to be short-sighted. We think in moments. God thinks with eternity in mind. Now, why is this important to someone who may be feeling anxious right now?
God thinks with eternity in mind, but fear speaks to us in our moments. And fear paints pictures. Fear paints worst-case scenarios and gives us options of foreboding. In the book, I talk about a specter projector, kind of a projector of the mind, if you will, of the soul. And there's these videos that play of the worst things that could possibly happen if we make a decision or make the wrong decision. And that just paralyzes us. But in the book, I teach that fear is a phantom. It's a phony. It's a mist. It's not real. It's your enemy, and it's lying to you in order to keep you from basking in the you that God created to soar like an eagle, to live the fullness of your dreams, to accomplish everything that's in your heart without hesitation. Now, fear is something that we learn from childhood, and it becomes a habit. The way warriors are able to fight wars, the way soldiers are able to walk into the midst of a hail of bullets is through training. And in the same way, we can be trained on how to understand fear and relegate it to its rightful place. you know, there is right fear. There is good fear. And when it's properly managed, then you will live a balanced, whole, full life like God intended. We're meant to live God-sized lives, not these little puny existence lives. John 10:10 says, I came to give you life, and life to the full, more abundant, full of glory. But the first half of that verse is, but the thief comes to kill and steal and destroy. And I think that the thief comes in the voice of fear.
Now, you were put on the side, or sidelined, as it were, for quite some time from the fulfillment of your dreams, and the Lord took you through a process. And so you may need to fill in some of the back story of this, but how did you react, John, when someone first suggested you become a George W. Bush impersonator?
Well, at that point, Dan, I had only met a couple of impersonators, and they weren't real good. And my impression of them was I felt sorry for them. I would never have wanted to do that. And so, again, yes, when somebody suggested that I try it out, I gave them a very flat no. I said, thank you, but no way. but, you know, analyzing that now, in retrospect, there was fear in operation. Fear of rejection, fear of looking stupid, fear of being hated by my children, you know, not to mention my wife, fear of making a fool of myself, fear of failure, and fear of being wrong. And my religious paradigm at the time, too, said there's no way God would want somebody to be an impersonator. I just knew it couldn't be God, but I was wrong.
When you talk about your fears, I think they probably by now have been alleviated as Dick Cheney, Jeb Bush, Barbara Walters, they thought you were the president himself when they met you in character.
Yes. Pretty crazy. That's pretty crazy. I mean, I basically chased... I walked briskly toward Barbara Walters when I saw her in the executive airport in Washington, D.C. My Secret Service agents at the time were actually agents of the airport, so they knew which dignitary was about to walk into the airport. This was during George Bush's second inauguration, and it was the day after his inauguration. And Barbara Walter had just come from interviewing the newly re-inaugurated president at the White House and was heading for the executive airport to, ironically, to leave D.C. to go to Donald Trump's wedding, of all things. And there I was with my arm in the hand of my wife, Kathy, who was wearing a brown wig and dressed like Laura Bush. And I'm sure you saw that picture in the book of the two of us looking like George and Laura.
Yes.
And so when I saw Barbara, I just thought, well, let's have some fun with this. So I walked briskly toward her, raised my arm and went, Barbara, Barbara. And she just kind of stopped. And like a good journalist, she looked to the left and the right to size up the moment. She saw me with Secret Service agents. And she said, Mr. President, didn't you like the interview? she thought I was looking for her, you know, but it was just a coincidence. And then somebody whispered in her ear, that's a lookalike. And she just busted up laughing.
Oh.
And then she talked about it the next day on The View. Her direct quote, I believe, was, he's the very image of him. She said she thought it was truly President Bush. And Dick Cheney, when I met him, I was at a Dick Cheney rally. And of course, again, with my wife, and we were in the very front row, and I was looking for all the world like George W. And I had already taken a gazillion pictures with people waiting to hear Dick Cheney speak. And so I guess somebody must have told him that I was out there, because he was standing next to his wife and a little behind her as she was introducing him. And as she was giving her introduction, it looked to everyone else like he was looking at her, but he was looking past her directly into my eyes, shaking his head back and forth like, I don't believe what I'm seeing. And then after his speech was over, he made a beeline down for me and she grabbed my hand and he said, I'm with George W. Bush every single day. He said, you are the spitting image of him.
What about Jeb?
Well, Jeb, I think his comment was, is that you, brother? As he saw me walking down the street, but I think his was actually in jest.
Yeah.
But I met him during the campaign and we chatted a bit and my last words were to him were, hey, brother, I'd take a bullet for you. And he just chuckled, you know. That was before Donald Trump did him in.
You mentioned Kathy.
My bride, yes.
Yes. When did you learn of Kathy's hepatitis C?
Oh, that was a dark, well, it was a painful challenge, but one that we actually endured with grace. We had been married quite a long time, and Kathy had a routine cholesterol check. And her liver numbers were elevated, and the doctor said, I'd like to do some further testing. And turned out that she had hepatitis C, which apparently she had contracted during the birth of our first son because she had some extensive bleeding and had to have a blood transfusion. And that was back in 1984, back before they started screening blood and, you know, screening out those things. And so she apparently had it all those years. And then when she got, by the time she got the diagnosis, she had also had so much liver damage that she had cirrhosis of the liver. And the doctor said, your blood platelet count is so low and your liver numbers are so high that there's no treatment for you, not even a liver transplant. You wouldn't survive it. So he basically just said, go home and maybe something better, some better treatment will come along. I mean, the implied next phrase was before you die. And, you know, she spent 8 long years. We spent as a couple 8 long years doing alternative therapies and, you know, trying this and that and spending a lot of money and wishing and praying and hoping and believing. But still, Kathy, you know, Kathy is such a trooper. She would never show you her pain or her sadness. But when she was alone, she would cry in the shower or in her bedroom because she was filled with fear. Not so much the fear of dying, because she knew the Lord and she knew that she would go to heaven, but more from the fear of loss. Of not seeing her grandchildren grow up, not seeing her 2 youngest sons find a girl and get married, not having another Christmas, not having another Easter, not having another birthday. Those were the thoughts that did her in, that undid her. And then
John, I'm taken by what you're saying. Yeah, I'm taken by what you're saying. But we got to hear the. Of course, we got to hear the whole story. There's more. In fact, yeah, as we go to break, dear one, as you're listening, yeah, of dark time, 8 years, it's amazing how he's able to express what went on in the midst of that dark period. But something happened. Something happened in their life. And John, I want you to share that when we come back. Because if there is a dark moment in your life right now, and look, if there is, thank God that the Lord has brought John Morgan to be able to speak to us, to you, at this moment. It's timely, because in that, in this moment, there is a word of hope, a word of life from God. It's not the end, my friend. It's not the end. The Lord in His working is preparing something, doing something, moving, working. Even though you may not fully see it, trust. Even as John Morgan will share, the Lord is working in you, dear one, in you. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, I think we can all agree, that none of us wants to go through a rough time, a dark time, a time when we're tested and challenged in ways that we could never imagine. It's even hard to express because it was so hard to bear, or maybe is so hard to bear. Or John C. Morgan, his wife Kathy, they know what that's like when Kathy was diagnosed with hepatitis C. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show, and there's more to this story as John C. Morgan, who is the author of the book, War on Fear, continues to share what took place. By the way, you can find out more about him and his book, get a hold of his book, War on Fear, at johncmorgan.com. John, take us further. What happened?
Well, year after year, stretched on, and Kathy endured test after test, transfusion after transfusion, blood platelet count after blood platelet count, with no change and no hope. Some tests would be better and some tests would be worse. And I remember Kathy saying, I remember what the doctor said when we first got the news of her diagnosis. It hit us like a wave of terrible fear, and it was very real. I could feel it in my toes, all through my body. And Kathy said, I just want to be alone. And so she went for a walk outside the doctor's office. And it's funny, she went to cross the street, and out of nowhere, a truck came barreling down the road and almost hit her. It was really weird. But as soon as that happened, she received insight. You know, I have no promise of tomorrow anyway. We presume we'll live to be 80 years old, but we don't know the appointed time of our departure from this life. And she chose to put her trust in the Lord in that moment. And just moments after receiving the most horrific news she could ever receive, she actually received peace. went through, again, as I said, many dark times after that. But one day, she had a routine visit to her liver doctor, and the doctor said, you know, there's this promising new drug, and I want to see if I can get you to qualify for it. This was after several other promising new drugs, but none of which panned out. But this one seemed very promising, and so he looked into it, and we received a phone call about this new drug, but the treatment was $100,000. Well, we didn't have $100,000, but then they said, but wait, you qualify for a special program, and your particular treatment is going to be $5. $5. So instead of, her prescription was one pill a day for 3 months. And then they claimed that that would take care of the hepatitis C with little or no side effects. And we were just so excited. It was, so instead of $30,000 or $33,000 a month, it was $5 a month, $15 total. And at the end of which, she got tested, and the hepatitis C was completely gone. And it has been 3 years now, and her liver is clearing up. She's free, and she has a whole new lease on life, and as do I. Oh, we're so thrilled and so thankful to God. But, you know, I have to say this. Even if we had had to bear that terrible disease right to the end, as so many have, we had the peace of knowing the Savior. And there's so much peace in knowing a God who never changes, in being close to a Savior who holds us in the palm of his hand, whose peace passes understanding. We knew that he would watch over us no matter what. And we're very grateful she was healed. But even if she had not been healed, we know that we would have gone to be with Jesus, or she would have gone to, and I would have followed a few years later. Mm-hmm. To be with Jesus and to enjoy the reward of heaven.
John, you've shared so much with us today, and you've shared scriptures. Is there a particular scripture that you would consider your favorite?
There are two. Psalm 40. He drew me up out of the muck and the mire and set my feet upon a rock. He put a hymn in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. And then the second one is the theme, really the core verse of the book, John 10:10. The thief comes to kill and steal and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the full.
Thank you so much. Both so beautiful.
John, you have captivated me. The Lord, through you, has captivated my heart, and I believe our hearts.
Yes.
Because of the utter depth, the sincerity, the way that you have shared your life. And to think that you've been in front of literally millions and millions of people, the humility, the grace, all the favor of God on you, dear friend. I feel like John Morgan is my friend. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful that you have graced us with your presence and the way you so strongly and clearly shared about your relationship with Jesus. Dear friend, thank you. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is an honor. And I know that as we speak, my voice is being carried to many thousands of Hawaiians today. And it is something that I cherish. and I treasure. And if there is one out there listening to the sound of my voice, we're connected. Sound waves are not dead things. It's alive. It's a live thing. And it's me, John. I'm reaching out to you now to share my heart, to share my life with you and say, I was dead and now I'm alive. I was caught in a net of fear. And the way that prison manifested itself was with terrible illicit sex, pornography, and self-loathing. And when Jesus set me free, he set me really, really free. And I just want to appeal to you. See, I was afraid to trust God. I didn't know I could trust him. I knew he was big and powerful, but I didn't know how loving he is. I didn't know that he had my best in his heart, my best interest, and he has your best interest. And if you'll put your trust in him, you will not be sorry.
A word of encouragement, a word of the gospel from John Morgan. You can find out more about John at johncmorgan.com. And just as John has just spoken, there's no better time than right now to open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ or share with someone, if you haven't done so, the love of Christ today. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. You can use that to share with a friend as well, the message of the gospel. Find out more at thegoodlifehawaii.com. If you'd like to stand with us with your financial support to make a donation, thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Partners. Ephesians 5:1-2, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to John Morgan, johncmorgan.com. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave.